It's 88.5 KCSN, welcoming back Jamestown Revival. Zach and Jonathan are here. Education of a Wandering Man. I get the wandering men part from what you guys have been doing for now. When did the actual heavy road work start? How many years back now? I'm trying to get it around my own head.
Oh, you know, we've been touring since, 2009, 10, because our first EP came out in 2011, I believe. And we used to tour just us two.
Right.
Sleep in the back of the car and shower at the truck stops and, you know, play for $50, if that. And
was that net 50?
It was gross.
Minus
50.
The bar tab.
Yeah. Right. Well, then it was net zero.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a different kind of touring then. You know, it was load in at 7, showtime at 7:15. You know, so there was a lot more leisure. There was a lot more in-between time. You know, we started touring with a band. It gets more complicated. It gets heavier. It gets a little more strenuous. But I guess, 3-4 years we've been hitting it pretty hard.
I think with the band and since the album's been out, the past 2.5 years have been, it's really picked up. Man, we're happy about that.
Yeah. In this case, you went both in song back to Austin and to a farmhouse studio in Austin that you guys own and you worked there. What made that the place that you were going to center all the new recording efforts on?
I think part of it was convenience. We had access to this house just outside of town, about an hour outside of Austin, a town called Lago Vista. So it was far enough away to feel removed and remote. It gets pretty quiet out there. And then being in Austin, it just kind of felt, the idea of recording there was really intriguing to us. And then it was more convenient. So the guys came in and we stayed out there. We kind of broke it up and did it in two different spurts, just because our schedule was a little more busy this time around. But kind of in the same way with the mountain, obviously it wasn't as remote, but we were removed. You're in a house, you're more relaxed. You can kind of wait for the muse to find you.
Right.
You can step away if it's not there. You can sit on the porch, have coffee, play horse, on an old basketball goal. So all those things, we just like the idea of challenging ourselves to kind of see what we can come up with and then doing it in an unconventional way.
Trying to take what's mine. just as you started out talking about it, it used to be the two of us in the back of a van, and maybe we knew where we were playing in a town we pulled into. Maybe we'd find out by driving around and right. seeing where we could, to something that became more choreographed, larger scale, and there were expectations as things went along.
Sure. And I mean, that's what, that's what we wrote the new single, Love is a Burden. That's what we wrote that about, was just, you know, when we wrote our first album, there was nobody expecting anything. Nobody knew who we were. We showed up to play shows and nobody came. So there wasn't a whole lot of pressure. And once we released California, we went from, 15 to 500. And that was something that I think it was exciting. It was just invigorating. At the same time, it was a little intimidating. It was like, okay, how do we keep these people engaged? How do we do better than what we did before?
Yeah, is that the best we're ever going to do?
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you have to be cognizant of career choices and everything that plays into
it
now.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I think it's easy to get impatient because everybody wants to do this and get recognition for it. It's fun playing music, but it's a lot more fun if people are engaged and involved in it. And it's easy to get impatient and forget that you're building something. You're building a career, hopefully. So, we kind of dealt with some of that and just kind of keeping things in perspective. Love is a Burden was really just... It was kind of us being honest with ourselves. Everything we were writing, we were comparing to California, and once we kind of addressed that, it felt good. It felt like it was
fresh start.
We could move on. Yeah, yeah. Fresh start. It was
We've
weird.
Purged.
We had
We've
self purged. Self therapy.
Bringing me down.
you're expanding in another role in your life, a very important role as fathers. And
I took the plunge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I took the plunge. My wife and I, had a baby about a year ago. So I have a 1-year-old son whom I miss dearly. It's really hard. It's hard being out on the road. You know,
and
I go
those
back.
Days are precious then when you're there.
Oh, they really are. I mean, I feel like I have to fight for every single hour. You know, I get home. I think since August, I've spent no more than 10 nights in my own bed. So
Any FaceTime, Skype, or is it too young?
We do, but he's still a little young. He doesn't really comprehend it. He gets excited for a minute, and then he, you know,
starts looking at himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I had situations where even my teenage sons, where I'd be doing it, and I'd notice that they'd flip the camera to where they were looking at themselves, and I go,
we're communicating here.
It is, you know, playing music and touring, it makes time, which inherently flies by, it makes it fly even faster. And I can't believe, you know, he's 14, 15 months old now already. It seems like we just brought him home from the hospital a couple months ago. So, you know, it really is forcing me to really make conscious decisions about our schedule and have to, you know, when we make a decision to go out on the road, I'm making a definite sacrifice in that, you know, it is time away from my family, and I am missing things. You know, you miss their first steps, you miss their first words. That definitely, you know, you hate it, but at the same time, I'm able to put a roof over my family's head and provide for my family playing music. And it almost gives you the most finite reason to get out here and be successful at what we do.
I woke up this morning and thought I was fine. Walked in the kitchen a 8:45, poured me some coffee and read me some news. When I looked up, all hell broke loose. There's a hole in the roof that's coming right through. Water's all gone cold. Heater's making noise again, and the bread's all growing mold. Songbird singing in that old, old tree. I'm looking up at you, you're looking down on me. Promise you this really ain't as bad as it may seem. I'm living the American dream.
I was hanging out with a lady and her family last night at the Greek Theater, who have been coming to see us since we were playing at the Room 5, which is, I think, now defunct in Los Angeles. But she has been to every show. Her family come to every show, and they say hello, and we're on a first-name basis. And we have people like that in a lot of cities. And it's just, you know, that you feel a sense of family, a sense of friendship, and a sense of responsibility, and a sense of empowerment from those people. So that's a good feeling.
Well, they keep the faith alive in you, and they keep you going on the next one. Well, you've delivered a great new album, The Education of a Wandering Man. We encourage all our listeners to get their own copy of it, either at a physical retailer or at a digital retailer near your fingertips. But most importantly, continue to support. And I want to encourage our fans who want to head up the coast. They can get to see you next weekend at the Harley Strictly Bluegrass Festival, which will be a heck of a good time. Yeah. The date at the El Rey again?
November 10th.
And tickets are available now.
They're on sale today. Went on sale this morning.
Oh, so tickets for the El Rey, which I had known about because, you know, I'm such a heavy insider. You were putting tickets on sale.
We announced this morning, yeah.
Well, here we go then.
There we go.
Hurry up, everybody. Do not dilly-dally. The El Rey's going to go fast. I want you to get online right this minute. Up. You're a couple rows back standing if you keep. All right, we'll wrap it up with that.
Sky, you're great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Jamestown Revival on KCSN.